Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome you to another night of Spiritual Connections Radio. As you know, we're on every Thursday night from 9:30 to 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And, of course, if you've missed any part of the show, you can go and get it in the archives. We'd like to welcome everybody and wish you a happy holiday, safe holiday. And I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm getting slammed with snow up here in Pennsylvania. We just want to give everybody a heads up that for the week of December 22nd through the 28th, which is next week for the holiday, there's going to be no radio shows at all on Spiritual Connections. We're all taking the week off, so there'll be no replays or anything like that. But you can always go back into the archives, and all the shows are available there for replay. We had an incredible show last night on the Men's Spiritual Hour, which is the third Tuesday of every month. And we had a Swami on, and that was absolutely an incredible interview. He's actually in the United States at this time traveling, has an ashram in India, and we had a chance to talk to him. He spent a number of years in isolation in a cave and just had some incredible wisdom and everything that came through that interview. So if you missed any part of that, make sure to go back to the archives to pull the Men's Spiritual Hour radio show from yesterday, which was December 17th. And with that, Pam, are you there?
I am. Hello, everyone. It's nice to be on Spiritual Connections Radio, as always, every Thursday night. And tonight, we have an exciting guest. We have a woman by the name of Chris Alexandria. And Chris is, she has written a book called Have You Ever Wondered About Angels? She has. She's the founder of Angel Chatter and the creator of her own angel oracle cards, and obviously angelically infused jewelry. That sounds fascinating. I'm going to have to pull up your website. Her website, by the way, just before we get to talking to her, in case anyone while they're listening to the show wants to pull up the website, is www.angelchatter.com. So, Chris, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Pam.
Well, one of the things that Mark is so good at is finding amazing people for the show. So so I'm looking forward to talking to you today.
Yeah, it's not so hard because Mark's pretty amazing himself, so he does attract like. So I'll take that as a kudo. I think I just realized I just patted myself on the back, but I'll take it.
That's great. So,
yeah, I actually ran across Chris. I think it was some number of expos. I think for a while there, we were actually traveling together to a couple of them because I was doing the booth setup for Deborah King at the time and was going from expo to expo. And sure enough, as I was going, I would go by, and I love browsing around expos and looking at all the vendors and, you know, get very complex by the fact that I can be at a spiritual expo and see someone selling windows.
So, I know, it is pretty fascinating, isn't it?
I know. Pam's had some experience with that because Pam does the Mind, Body, Spirit expos down in Florida. And
okay.
I think you even traveled this year in 2013, didn't you, Pam?
Yeah, I did. I did the Whole Life Expo in Chicago, And I've done a few of them. It's been a fascinating journey. I guess it's a path. You know, you make a decision to do something like that, and then you figure it out as you go. And it's really, I think it's enriching for everyone involved.
I agree. And we were probably at the same Chicago Expo.
Oh, really?
One in the spring?
Yeah, the one in the end of May. I think it was the last day in May.
Yep, we were there.
Wow, I'm sorry I didn't get to meet you then.
I know, it would have been the perfect opportunity.
Who knew? Anyway, we meet now.
Exactly.
So let's talk about you for just a second. Obviously you work with angels. You're out there on a regular basis doing readings, helping people. You've got a line of jewelry now. How did you get started in all this?
Oh, my goodness. All right, so the Cliff Note version is we are all connected to the angelic realm because we all have a guardian angel that is with us since the very first time we were in a human form. But we all, around the age of 6 to 8, they call it that age of reason. So because we're trying to reason things out, and a lot of it's also we want to fit in. And so we'll shut down that spiritual side or certainly not admit to it. And I was no different. And then fast forward, but I always had this knack of knowing. And it kind of became obnoxious that I was just this little know-it-all. So it didn't really endear me to a lot of people, but I just knew, but not understanding how I knew. And just went with it, but always wanted to be able to help people become, now using the word empower, but help them make them feel better, help them have a better life. And it wasn't until I met Mr. Wonderful and we had our wonderful children and family and stuff, I realized Mama Bear can't be everywhere at one time. And then the angels came back in and went and said, hello. I'm like, oh, it's you. But I still didn't put two and two together that I've been doing this my whole life until I had a reading, oh gosh, now years ago. And it was a phone reading. And I was the only one at home at the time. And the woman calls in a bunch of angels, ascended masters, and one of them was Archangel Ariel. And before I could monitor what I was going to say, I went, ah, Pinky! And I literally stopped, looked around, and went, okay, that was interesting. I'm thinking, I'm having this whole conversation to myself. That was interesting. Okay. Reading continued. Yeah, it was weird. It was really, really weird. Like, who just said that? One of those things. So I go to bed that night. My husband was traveling, so again, I'm home by myself. Said, okay, everybody that was in that reading today, front and center. So Pinky comes waltzing back in, and I went, ah, it's you. Archangel Ariel is my guardian angel. And as a child, I didn't know Ariel as a name, but I knew the color pink, and her color resonance is pink. So that was a beautiful confirmation for me that I've been doing this all along, but not knowing it. And then they just kept coming and coming and coming and said, oh, you're going to be doing this, you're going to be doing that. I'm like going, holy crap, are you kidding me? I'm just this girl from in this little tiny town in Delaware. They're like, nope. I'm like, okay. So I just kept saying yes. And our first big product was our Oracle cards. And they've been out for about a year now, a year and a half. And then they told me, like, why are you making Oracle cards?
Well, sorry,
and I went,
my dog's barking.
That's okay. I have them too. I'm used to it. And I said, but there's so many decks out there. Why does the world need yet another Oracle card deck? And they went, we're going back to basics. I went, okay, I like basic, I like easy. Explain.
Mm-hmm.
So they said because the Oracle card beautifully, beautifully illustrated. But people, because I was using them for reading, people were paying more attention to the illustration and not so much attention to the actual message.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, no, it's time to just still let the messages stand on their own. I went, oh, so did that. Wrote the entire 44-card deck and the guidebook in 2 weeks. So yeah, they kind of popped my fanny in the chair and said, take dictation. But the cards were boring. It's the only words on the card. I'm like, okay, that's real exciting. And so we tried different things. We tried color resonance, and it looked like, an elementary schooler did it. It just didn't look good. And so I put it away. We moved. I put it away. Kept looking at it, going, I'm not getting it. I'm not getting it. And a friend who lives on the island where we live now said, symbols. I went, ah, you're right. So she and I sat down one night and came up with the 14 symbols that are exclusive to our deck. And then those symbols have launched an angel essential spray line. I don't make them, but the gentleman that does, he's an amazing alchemist when it comes to essential oils. Every time he would hold my card deck, he'd break out in goosebumps. And he said, can I make angel sprays? I like, oh my gosh, that's fantastic. So he meditates with the symbols, but that's what the symbols are there for. It's to help strengthen your connection with that specific archangel. Well, that angel then comes in and says, this is what goes in my spray. And we don't have all 14 sprays yet. We're up to 11 or 12 because he's also made a spray that's exclusive for us, for Angel Chatter. And then those symbols, you're one of the first to know, are now being made into jewelry. And they're going to be little tiny charms that even guys can wear it as a medal, but it's going to also be able to be a charm on a bracelet and have natural crystals like rose quartz, clear quartz, aquamarine in between to be used as spacers. So very excited. And then when these designs come in, the jewelry, because you asked about that, the angels come in during that whole creation process. So they're angelically infused. Because one of the things that makes our Oracle deck unique is, unbeknownst to me at the time, when they were written, Zadkiel came in and the energies of clearing were put into the deck. So the deck never needs to be cleared. If you've done expos, Mark's done expos, there are times that you're rocking. By the time you leave the expo Sunday night, you're done. Just slap some butter and jam on you, and we're toast, right? The last thing I want to be doing is going around and go, I got to clear the deck. You know, I just box them up, and they don't see the light of day until we do the next expo. But it's really hysterical. People come out because we have a sample deck out. People come by, they go, oh, my God, and they start smacking their friend. We were just talking about this. Oh, my God, I needed to hear this. You get the message you most need.
Uh-huh.
I know.
Well, that's fascinating.
It is fascinating, and it wasn't until they were actually in print for almost 6 months that they told me that. I went, oh.
And how long is it that they've been out? You said a year and a half? Is that what you said?
About a year and a half.
And you do readings. So am I right? Angel readings?
Yes, I do. I do. It's not how. I'm not just an angel reader. I'm also a coach, because what I love doing ultimately, which is why I'm creating all this product line, is to help you, well, pretend you're my client for a moment, to become more empowered. And empowered can be an overused word, so paraphrase it, to help you live life on your terms, because your sense of self-worth and self-esteem escalates, because you get confirmation from the angels, you'll get encouragement, you'll get the periodic wing slap, I call it, kind of akin to the dope slap, like you're not listening, keep going, one of those things. So that's why all these products are also tools. So, yes, I do angel readings, but through the course of your reading, they offer you tools that, again, are very easy, but easy doesn't mean that it's not profound.
Right. It is, when you communicate with the angels, is it as though the angels are talking to you or through you? I don't know if you understand
both.
That question.
I do. It's a mixture of both. That's why I had to hesitate. It may sound egocentric, but my channel can be so clear at times, especially when I'm doing readings. It comes out like we're having a natural conversation. But if you come up to me even an hour later, remember that, and I'm going to look at you and go, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Right.
So I don't speak in forked tongues or anything weird, and but it just comes out in a very simple conversational tone, and it goes from there.
That happens to me too, and not necessarily with angels, but when I do readings, it's almost as though you're there at the time, you're listening, you're talking,
right.
And it feels like it's coming from you, but then once that whole thing is broken, you really can't remember much about what you said.
And I've gotten into the habit of whenever I finish with a client, they get a hug. And they look at me, I tell them ahead of time, especially if we have started talking about energy cords and learning how to cut them. And I go, well, yes, I like to hug, but it's become my clue, my nod to the angels to say, cut the cord between you and me, because I don't want your crap and you sure don't want mine. So it cuts the cord, and that enables me to be clear. Again, you've done expos.
I
give a reading at 7 o'clock at night to be still on as good as you were at 10. Those cords need to be cut.
And do you just ask the angels to cut the cord with the person that you're connected to during the reading of time?
Right. What they gave me, because when I was trained, years and years ago, it was Michael. Michael cuts the cords, and it never felt like it was complete. Like, okay, Michael cuts the cord, but then there's like this energetic boo-boo there because the cord was there. Nothing's been healed. It's like, for me, it was an open wound for more crap to come flowing back in. It just didn't make sense. So I could still
okay.
be very lost. Even though I'm spiritual, things still have to make sense to me. And it
sure.
has to feel complete. And it just didn't make sense. Like, no, there's more to it. There's more to it. So chatted with them, and I now call them the trifecta. So would you like to hear how it works?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. So Michael is the premier cord cutter. I've never seen him not depicted without carrying a sword. Sometimes the sword is also displayed as a blue flame. So I tell clients, think of Star Wars and a laser. It's going to cauterize those energetic cords.
Mm-hmm.
And we all have them. We're all going to have them until we drop dead, because we're all human, whether we're from here or not, and that's a different topic for a different time. But we're human, so we have ego. So cords are going to be attached. And there's always, unfortunately, someone in our life that whenever you think about them, you go, they're still draining you. You don't want to go for those. I call them the big ones. You don't want to go for those big ones first, because they're big. Your body's gotten used to them. So what Michael has suggested is, Michael, thank you for cutting all cords that no longer serve me. How hard is that?
Yeah, that's easy enough.
Exactly. It's easy. You don't even have to think about who the cord's going to. Because a lot of times you can pass someone going in and out of the post office, for example, and they zing you. You won't even be aware of it sometimes. They're just having a bad day, and they just kind of pop you in. So sometimes you don't even know who the cords are going to. So cutting all cords that no longer serve me. And if you do this regularly, by the time you get to those big ones, they're not so big. Because what
mm-hmm.
cord cutting does is pull your power back. It brings so you stop feeling like a Gumby or an octopus being pulled in so many directions. So then the next angel that comes in is Raphael. Raphael's the healer, oversees our
mm-hmm.
heart chakra. So I'm going to repeat, Michael, thank you for cutting all cords that no longer serve me. Raphael, thank you for healing as each cord is cut. Again, easy.
Right.
And so as Michael's going around with his sword, chopping all the cords off of you and to the other person, Raphael's going to both as well and putting on his healing salve to help heal it. So now there's this live cord out there spewing caca all over the place. You know, it's crap, it's caca, it's you call it.
Right.
So being a good doobie, add one more sentence and to the thanks of Archangel Zadkiel, who is the oversees the violet flame, and what the flame does is clear energy, transmutes. It turns caca into pureness. So Zadkiel, thank you for transmuting as each cord is cut, or thank you for transmuting all cords as they are cut.
Nice. I'm rising.
Yeah. I can tell.
It's very easy because we have ego. Things have to. Now, how often have you heard anything worth having you've got to work hard for?
Excuse me.
So we kind of muck things up and put in 12, it's not just in the 12-step program, but we put in these multiple steps where it could be just as easily and effectively done in 3 very easy steps. Now,
I like
you
that.
Can, yeah, and being a curious person, because everybody's on the curious side, certainly if you want to take time, you know, and I've done this at times, where I can feel these little pings coming off my body. Because they don't just hit the chakras. They're all over the place. They're all over your body. So you can sometimes, you know, if you're sensitive, you can feel where Michael's cutting them off. And it's just kind of cool. And sometimes, you know, if you really want to get curious and not read into it, just curious, mind you, oh, wow, that went to great Aunt Gertrude. Boy, man, she's been dead for 50 years. Who knew? You know, so sometimes, like, wow, that was just interesting. Kind of a moment.
It is.
You don't have to. Yeah, you don't have to read into it, though.
It brings up so many issues for me. For example, I used to have this knowingness that anyone that you've ever made love to, even when you were 16, you know, anyone that you've ever made love to, you have this cord connection to. Because I've had people that, you know, years ago when I was a adolescent, a teenager and in my early 20s, used to be a lover that has died, and I felt it immediately.
Yeah.
You know, you have this connection. Now,
if I could interject just for a moment, and I love that you brought that in. Cords of true love can never be cut, even if one person leaves the planet first.
This is not true love.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
This was estrogen and testosterone.
Oh, no. I completely agree, and I'm glad you admitted to that. But that's what I was going to lead into by saying, now my husband and I, for example, have been married 28 years, so we're kind of in it for the long haul and love and adore each other immensely. Mark's met him. But that's not to say
I agree with that, too.
Yeah, it's not to say we don't have disagreements.
Right.
So
I've been married to my husband almost 23 years as well. So,
congratulations.
Yeah, we're not talking about that kind of a relationship, though.
Yeah.
I'm talking about just a sexual union.
A physical union.
Automatic connection. And sometimes you don't want to have the effect of someone else's lives impending on you years later when you hardly knew them.
Oh, I completely agree. Because it affects, especially if it was an intimate relationship, it affects current love relationship whether you realize it or not.
That's interesting. Tell me about that.
Well, you think about it. You know, you've had intimacy with another person, and whether you're still thinking about them or not, that was something, again, use that word, intimate, with another person.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you are of the belief, and you have confirmed that when they left, you immediately knew that they were still pulling on your energy. That's not energy that needs to be pulled from you.
Mm-hmm.
That's energy you rightfully have contained within yourself, because we're very, very powerful people. We can manifest like nobody's business. It's our ego that prevents us from living everything that we really desire. And cutting cords, as an example, pulls our power back to us, so we're not so fragmented. And that includes getting rid of old lovers.
I like that. And how about, you know, I lived in Paris for a long time, and anyone that's lived in Paris, London, New York, any place like that where you're always on public transportation, you've always got people all around you. My oldest son just moved to Hong Kong and really complaining of similar things where you walk down the street and other people's energy impinge on you.
Right. So this is a perfect tool. Cut the cords. This is something I don't do it nightly because I, especially right now, I've been so fervently working on some Christmas presents to get them done in time. I fall into bed and crash. I forget. But when I'm a little bit more quasi-awake, how long does it take for me to say, Michael, thank you for cutting all cords that no longer serve me?
Raphael, thank you for healing as each cord is cut. Zadkiel, thank you for transmuting all cords as they are cut. It took less than a minute.
Yeah.
That is something that we can do every night.
That's a great tip. Thank you for that.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm full of them.
Okay, so let's go back to talking about you for a minute. You have created this line of jewelry. How many pieces and what kind of things do you have, and how can people find you?
Well, you can find me. Once you find me, I'm hard to get rid of. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Pinterest. And, of course, as you had so graciously mentioned, we have our own website, angelchatter.com. And we are in the process of working with some – I have hired a coach to help me take our product bigger and bigger and bigger, to get it more into stores, to get it into some influential people's hands, and beyond. And we'll just keep it, because nothing's happened yet, so I don't want to put it out there too much. So we currently have two designs out, our Angel Chatter logo, which is a whimsical wing and a halo. Our eldest daughter said, Mom, you chat with angels. Your business name is Angel Chatter. And boom, boom, boom. And by the way, here's your logo. Cool. Wow. Thanks. And that's how quickly, literally, it happened. And then our second design is called Angel Flight. And I got that design about a year ago. I knew I wanted to do something heart-focused, because everything I consciously do comes from the heart. You know, the more we love ourselves, the more we allow ourselves to receive. But there's so many heart necklaces out there. I'm like, okay, what's going to make mine different and appealing? And I'm doodling and like, no, that's not it. No, that's not it. And for a bit, I thought it was the heart that I use when I usually autograph books. Nope, that wasn't it. It looked really stupid in jewelry. So I'm visiting my parents, and my mom's an amazing seamstress, and she has a machine that does machine embroidery. And she offered to make for us that has this huge heart that looks like it's filigreed. So I'm looking at it for like a half an hour. She goes, I'll pick out the colors that you want in the heart. I'm like, okay. And it was like, I got wings flapped. It was like, honey, there's your heart. I'm like, oh, wow, there's my new heart. There's my new design. So it has, it's a filigree heart, but it has two wings that stem off of it. And that line has the necklace, the wings, that design of the wings have also become into earrings. And what's really cool about the wings, when you look at them, there's an angel within each wing. And then the heart, we've also put into two different kinds of bracelet. One that I call a bit more of a rocker. It has a beautiful braided leather cord, and it has a magnetic closure. And then the other one's a little bit more on the elegant side. It has a silver chain, and then the necklace and that bracelet, they're capped with a faceted rose quartz, because rose quartz is all about self-love. So it's all that love that you're bringing back to yourself more and more. What's one of the cool things about the necklace, you know, as a woman, you can think of, you know, you may have a couple of favorite necklaces, but you can't wear them all the time because of your neckline for dress you're wearing. Our necklace is adjustable. We can go to a 14-inch to an 18-inch. So it has a little bit of an extender chain on the back, and that extender chain is then capped with the faceted rose quartz. It's really quite beautiful, and I'm very, very pleased with it. Yeah, thank you. I'm really pleased with it. And then our new jeweler took our logo, scaled it down, and she put it into the extender chain. So our logo, very small size, is in the back, but that little tiny thing is now morphing into a line for girls. So girls, too, can have the little Angel Chatter necklace, bracelet, and post earrings. That's our next design we're working on. What's coming out immediately is, I think we're up to six. We started off with four, then we went to five. I think we're up to six of the symbols that are in our card deck are being made into charms, like I mentioned earlier. So the line is just growing rapidly.
Let's change subject for just a second, because I know our audience is going to want to check that out and follow your production and the different things that you come up with. Let's talk about protection.
Sure.
I know a lot of people are concerned about the subject, and they ask me frequently about protection. Do you use angels for protection? Is this something you should do daily or just when you feel strange, you know, when you've hit some strange energy or when you're doing readings? How would you suggest using angels in terms of protection?
Beautiful question. So before you do any kind of spiritual work, I always call in Big Mike, Archangel Mike. He's the protector, the warrior of the angelic realm, patron saint of the police force in the United States, so very much protector. So I was actively seeing clients for quite a while for energy treatments. Michael's always the first one I called in, because you want to allow yourself to feel safe to explore your spirituality, because as you open up more and more, those lower energies, as I call them, go, ooh, yummy, buffet's opening, and they kind of come in and they'll zing you, or can have the potential to come in and zing you. So Michael, standing guard, doesn't allow it to happen. So it allows you, even if you're going for a treatment, you're going for an acupuncture or healing treatment, anytime, even a massage, anytime someone touches your body as a form of treatment, a mani-pedi, facial, hair, anything, you don't know what kind of life that person is leading or what kind of night they have had. I always call in Michael. It rang true for me years ago. I had a mentor, and she and I were exchanging treatments. I gave her a treatment, fine. And, you know, I was young. I was a newbie. I had no idea. I was just trusting her. She was my mentor. It took me weeks to get over her crap. Found out later on she had a horrible night with her adult child and granddaughter and was exhausted, but it took me literally weeks to feel better. So from now on, Michael stands guard to only allow the pureness to come through.
Well, that's good.
And what everybody can do, your home is your castle, whether it's an apartment, a refurbished chicken coop, a penthouse, a McMansion, it doesn't matter. Your home is your castle. Call in Michael again, and this won't take long, but I'm going to speed it up a little bit. Sit quietly for a few minutes and envision, see, know, however works best for you. See Michael going through the foundation of the building. Doesn't matter if you're in the fourth floor walk-up. Through the foundation of the building, with his feet firmly anchored in the earth. And see, feel, know him growing in size through the roof of the building. His sword is going to be raised, drawn, brandished. So lower energies that come forward will either be decimated or they're going to go elsewhere. So it allows you to keep your home safe.
I like that.
You know, and it's extremely effective. Sorry, my dog's going to bark now. Yes. Sorry. Come here. So it's extremely effective, and it keeps, because, you know, our children, no matter, and your son, how old is your son?
Well, I have four sons.
The one
daughter.
That's over in Asia?
Hong Kong?
Yeah.
He's 38.
Okay, so he's still in that range of really enlightened spiritual beings, obviously, since he obviously chose you as a mom to begin with. And they're very, very sensitive. They see things. They know things. They experience things that even for me it's hard to, like, wow, that's so cool, but at the same time pretty scary for them. But teaching them these tools that they can be safe in their own home
is,
you know,
really, really
important.
Absolutely. I think when you move into a new home as well, you don't know
absolutely.
What the history of that home was in most cases. So,
oh,
for example, about a year and a half ago now, I bought this house, and I bought it on the short sale. And it was kind of a mess of a house, but it was on this amazing lake. And so it's taken us a while to pull the house together to the point that it's comfortable. But I kept, and I, you know, I have these amazing people that, that come over to my house frequently. And I kept feeling this. And also I would start getting reports from my friends that were here as well, that when you go into, there's like a garage and then a utility room and a half bath that are all sort of connected together. And when you go into that area, the light is not right next to the door. You have to step into the room to turn the light on. And all of them, every one of them that has been here at night has told me, you know, there's some weird energy. It feels like I'm walking through muck when I go out there. It's cold, you know. And I know who it is because the guy that lost this place, you know, built this house years ago. He loved this lake. He lost the house because of ill health and other issues. He lost the house to the bank. And then that was in August. And November he died.
Wow.
And so I know he's still, I know he's still walking around here, and I've talked to him. I've tried to walk him over. I've cleared it, and it, he, you know, he's happier for a little while. He moves away, and then before I know it, he's back again. And he hasn't been around in a few months, and now it's Christmas time, and he's back again. And so I like this idea of Archangel Michael clearing and protecting the house, not against some horrible evil, but again, you know, about like transmuting energies that really should be here because of their own evolution.
Exactly. And the lower energies. I mean, let's call a spade a spade. You know, I do what I do, and I acknowledge that there were lower energies. It is not my forte, so I'm not going out and trying to save the world from you, but I admit that they're around, but that's why I have Michael. That's why I have a permanent shield around me, and it's only when, if I become foolhardy and do something stupid and allow lower energies in, can they permeate. Because if you can't, if you're not feeling comfortable in your own skin, if you're not feeling comfortable in your own home, so we've owned our home that we're living in right now for 13 years, but it's been our beach home. We moved in full time just over a year ago. And it's been pretty funny. It's probably circa 1920, so it's getting close to 100 years old. And the more I'm here, I'll sit down and I will watch TV at night, or I'll sit there and read. I still see something going up and down the steps. I have no idea what it is, but I'm not feeling threatened. I was like, okay, whoever, somebody's here. And years ago, I came down to do some classes, teach some classes, and it happened to be school break, and our youngest brought her best friend. So they're doing what teenage girls do. They're in bed and they're giggling and they're doing, you know, having a blast. And I hear the bedroom door open. I hear the little feet go out and they close the door and the giggling commences. I'm just laying in bed and I'm reading. Door opens again. The little feet get out. They go close the door. And they go back to bed. And the door opens the third time. And I hear, Mom, come in here. And I went and I went, yeah? Is there someone in here? I go, what do you think? She goes, yeah. And I said, okay. She goes, and I said, do you know what to do? She goes, yeah. I said, then do it. I'm not doing everything for you. Door never opened. The door never opened up again that night.
That's good.
Yeah.
It's good to, you know, to kind of teach children to empower themselves, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Sure. You know, my parents are great, great people. They're still alive, and they support me in everything. They don't always understand what I'm doing, and that's okay, but they've always supported me, and that's allowed me to do what I do now.
Let's go ahead and take a break. We're actually a couple minutes behind schedule. I just want to let everybody know you're listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. You can find us on the internet at www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. If you missed any part of the show, you can get it on replay. It'll be available probably about 10 minutes after the show is over. And just going to go back to you, Chris. You know, one of the things I was doing while I was listening to you guys talk was I was looking at a lot of your blogs. And one of the ones that I noticed is, do your angels change as you change?
Mm-hmm.
And I was reading your review of that. And I guess one of the questions I have for you is, do you believe that you have guides that are not angels?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Okay. Now, you know, I know for a lot of us, we can go into terminologies. There's a lot of people who will mix terminology and say, well, you know, I have a guide. And some people say, well, yeah, the guide's my guardian angel and stuff like that. And I guess I'm from the certain camp that I do believe that I have a primary and a secondary guide, but I also know that I have two angels that are with me pretty much my entire life.
Right.
Can you expand on that?
Sure. Well, guides, so I think you and I are coming from the same terminology camp. Guides, in that proverbial sense, are, for lack of better words, dead people. They can be my grandmother, because she comes in quite often. Ancestors. They can be a, quote, famous person. So for a while, God, I can't think of her name now. She started, not Scientology, the other science healing. Name escapes me. I can't think of her. Mary somebody or other. Tells you how important it was now. Or for me now. She's not, apparently not with me. But apparently she was with me. I had a spirit drawing and she was with me. And Mary Baker Eady, I think is her name. And you can look that up, Mark, while we're talking, see if I'm right. And because I was doing a lot of healing practices at the moment, she came forward and was helping me kind of make sense and meld things into me. Because it's always good to learn things, but then make it you. Just don't be a parrot. And then I have my angel who can also be under the classification of guide. So you can put guides as the main, if you think of an umbrella, guides would be at the very top, and then it can spoke down into multiple. So you can have angels, certainly as a guide. You can have ascended masters, and those are people who are human. They have ascended. They have learned all they need to learn. Jesus Christ, Buddha, Virgin Mary, Mary Magdalene, Gandhi, ascended masters. You know, people that continue to affect lives now, even though they have been dead for decades and thousands of years. And then you can have another category under guides of your ancestors, you know, relatives, people close to your family. Does that make sense? Or does that answer your question?
Yeah, as your reference, I think you were talking about Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eady.
Yeah. Yeah, she apparently was one of my guides for that very school marmish and very task at hand kind of a thing. But the guides will come in. Some, as you mentioned, our guardian angels are with us all the time. They know more about us than we will ever forget about us, about ourselves. And then we'll have some that come in during certain circumstances. So, for example, in this life, one of my lessons that I chose to get over was to be able to express myself more completely with confidence. So if I'm going to use with the angelic realm for this scenario, it's going to be a lot of Michael, a lot of Jophiel, because it's all about expression. But I like to have fun, so Jophiel is going to come in, because even though Jophiel oversees the solar plexus as well, I see Jophiel as a her, I call her the joy-filled angel. So a lot of what I do is filled with joy. But I'm also a big writer, so Metatron comes in a lot when I'm writing.
What did you use Gabriel for?
Gabriel is sacral chakra area, so sensuality, sexuality, creation, birth. Birth is not just, you know, going forth and procreating and making a child. It's also about birthing new ways of being, giving birth to a new product, project, birth to a book. Many times have we heard an author, I just birthed my book today. Because it's very much like that, because these projects become your babies. A lot of, you know, you pay attention to a lot of people, say, yeah, this project was my baby. It's birthing.
If you're working a lot with children as far as teaching them about angels, is that where your book came in? Have you ever wondered about angels?
Yeah, that would be a lot of Michael's influence in that one, especially because Michael and Metatron oversee what has been called the Indigo Children, and so it's all about the spirit. I'm softening it up even differently. Spiritual children, children that are more spiritually evolved than most of us when we came in. They just know. They just get it. So think about when, and they've had this huge influence in our society. So think about the three of us when we were growing up, how many more private schools there are now, because one of the things these spiritual children have brought to our attention, we all don't learn the same way. Look at computers, cell phones. I mean, things that were just foreign. I mean, my daughter was aghast the other day when I said, yeah, the first time Dad and I heard that song, he got it as a cassette at a gas station because he filled the tank up. And she looked at me like I had just grown horns. She goes, you're kidding me. I said, no, they still had cassette, and the gas stations would still give something away as a gift.
What do you think is the biggest lesson you've learned? You know, you've been working with angels for quite a long time now.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you think one of the biggest lessons is that you've learned over the last 5 years?
Oh, gosh. That, not for me, and it comes out with everything that I produce, is that each and every one of us is worthy to have the life we desire on our terms. Because we all want love. We all want abundance. We all want health, joy, the perfect house. Pam's married 20-some years. I'm married 20-some years. Obviously, both deliriously happy. So we have found love, but it's love on our terms, to use as an example. The really, really, really boring world if everybody wanted and coveted the same kind of house. So we all want the same thing, but it's on our terms. So letting ourselves feel worthy to get that, and then what's even more powerful to actually ask for it, that's when it happens.
So what is the biggest lesson that you teach? You know, you said, you know, you're not doing normal angel readings like a lot of people would be doing. You're really trying to mm-hmm. coach and empower people. So what is the biggest lesson that seems to be repeating over and over again for people?
Their lack of self-worth, unfortunately. It's a horrible epidemic. People just not, they seem to be on the gerbil wheel of, I know it's not working, but I don't know what else to do. We are creatures of comfort. Sometimes we get, even though we don't like something, we're comfortable with it because we know what to expect. So we just accept it, which is sad. You know, because how many people finally retire from a job they have really not enjoyed and sometimes, unfortunately, abhorred for decades, only to now and start enjoying life after they retire.
Pam, did you have a question?
I have a question about using angels.
Sure.
In terms of if you obviously you talk to angels,
mm-hmm.
do you ask them to do things for you? Do
Absolutely.
You say, I need this to happen today, and could you please go and handle that for me? I mean, is it that practical?
It absolutely. And actually, I have a little book. It's not anything fancy, but I like it. I have a list. So every morning I make a little list of my to-do list. This is what Chris has to do today. Chris has to write her blog. Chris has to write the article for that magazine and that magazine, and et cetera, et cetera. And then this over here on the other side, the other page, is what the angels have to do.
Uh-huh.
So they have to, because we're getting ready to approach celebrities for the jewelry. So they have to put the right celebrities in my path so I know that that's a good fit and then help open the doors for me.
I like that.
Yeah. So it makes, it takes the stress off of you having to figure everything out. Let them do it. And the only key is, yeah, write it down, but then don't there's a couple of keys, actually. Don't focus on it, you know, because you're talking to the reformed queen of micromanaging. I maybe have been demoted to a princess or maybe a lady-in-waiting by now. I'm not sure. I'm no longer the queen. I've learned to let go and trust the process much, much more.
Mm-hmm.
And everything does indeed happen when it is supposed to. And it allows me to step back a little bit and see the larger picture. Because sometimes the lessons or our life adventures aren't all that glamorous or fun or enjoyable. But if we can pull back from the immediate drama, we can look at it and go, oh, and then move on. And
I like
never
that.
never have to repeat the lesson again. Because we got it.
That's
the
wonderful.
Angels know, you know, because years ago, you know, we lived in a beautiful neighborhood. I had four friends, and two of them lived doors away from us, very, very close proximity. And whenever I would start talking about my stuff, they would literally go, oh, there she goes again. So really kind of hardly supportive of what was important to me. And then in the course of a two-week period, all four dumped me. We broke up. Oh, I moaned and I cried and carried on and I was in the depths of my despair and it was horrible. And I can make light of it now because I've moved on. But it took me a good year. And by the time we moved from that neighborhood, actually moved out of state, I literally thanked my two neighbors for dumping me. I said, yeah, I miss our friendship, but because we broke up, I'm now following what I really want to be doing. And they understood it. They understood it.
Interesting.
So I knew for years these. So my point was, we will get little hits at that relationship, but that's not good for us. And if we continue to ignore it, even though, again, it's comfortable, what we know, the angels will take care of it for us.
So let's talk about for just a second. I'd like to talk about responsibility, because. I've always had this concept about angels where it takes me out of the role of victim. In other words, not being able to affect the life at all in a certain area where you feel like you're the effect of it. So, for example, you get up in the morning, you turn on the radio, and NPR is on, and you're hearing the news. And they're talking about this horrible war, or this horrible thing that happened, or this horrible thing. And from your kitchen, making your coffee, there's not a damn thing you can do about it.
Right.
So this concept of sending angels, I sort of developed on my own, sending angels because it takes you out of the role of victim. I can do something about it. I can send angels. What do you think about that?
I think it's beautiful. Perfect.
I like the other technique that you taught me, Pam, which is just to send love to a person or a situation.
Yeah, well, there's another technique. It's called Ho'oponopono. It's a Hawaiian healing technique. And
Ho'oponopono, yes. I teach that too.
I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. Thank you. And sending that, because the basis of Ho'oponopono is that you are responsible for everything. Because it's mirroring something going on within you. So if you use those four phrases, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, thank you, and send it out, not only are you helping those in need, but you're also helping yourself.
You know, could I jump in here for just a second? There's two issues, and now I'm getting excited, and we're at the end of the show, and I have to get this all out quick. responsibility in terms of when you create something, when you want something to happen in your life. Oftentimes people take it on as, oh, I have to force this to happen. I have to make this happen. I have to do something. I have to figure it out. I've got to work harder. I've got to do something to make this happen. Where using angels, number one, takes off the pressure. It takes off the responsibility. Don't you agree with me?
Oh, because everything you just said before you started going, you switched gears to the angels, was all ego. ego feed does nothing but fear, self-defeating thoughts. It blows
absolutely.
Out through
that.
And that's all
absolutely.
It does. And it's
so,
now,
turn it over?
Yeah, when do you, from the beginning.
Right.
So here's another easy little tool. Again, because I'm designing a lot of jewelry. Apparently, that's going to be my path for a bit, and I'm loving it. All right, is this a design for right now? And if I'm not sure, because the ego's like, yeah, you could see it's almost like rubbing its little grubby hands together. Like, yeah, do it. It's going to be great. Ah. I'm like, but I'm not sure. I literally will put my hands over my heart, close my eyes, and breathe. Because egoic comments, thoughts, raspberry blowing, cannot make it to your heart center. Because it's not heart-focused. So if something is not of your best interest at that moment or ever, it cannot make it to the heart.
Well,
so
that's interesting.
If it's a real project for you, if it's really viable, it will not only make it to the heart center, but you're going to see beyond its creation on where it's going to go.
Okay. Now, one last question for you, Chris. What can you tell our audience in terms of making their life a bit easier and using angels today? Is there a tip that you can give them? Could you put it out in one small phrase, giving them advice on how to make their life easier today?
Just simply ask the angels, and don't get caught up, again, because it's the ego telling you don't know who to talk to. If you don't know the who's who of the angelic realm, trust me, I don't know everybody. I know my gang. I know the 14 I work with, but I don't know all of them by any means. You say, hey, I need help with blah, blah, blah. Please come home. Even if it's finding that great parking spot. That's the beauty of the angelic realm. They can be, where are you located, Pam? Do you live in Florida?
Pardon me?
Is that what I live in
Florida, yes, in Tampa.
All right, so you're in Florida, Mark's in Pennsylvania, I'm in Virginia. The angels are with each one of us right this second. Three very different states. They can be just as easily with somebody in China, Hawaii, Alaska, Venezuela at the exact same millisecond. Nothing you desire is never not worthy.
That's lovely. Well, thank you so much, Chris. You've been a wonderful guest and really very informative.
Like I said, I'm just full of it, but thank you.
Well, you know, I think the whole idea of the program is to shed some light on different spiritual issues, talk to people that are very good at a certain spiritual path, and possibly lay it out for the audience so that they can choose what works for them. And this is such a simple, easy, flowing type of that I think hopefully a lot of our audience will be able to use.
Oh, I hope so, because it's meant to be easy, and that's one of the things I love working with the angels. It's an easy process, joyous and incredibly profound and empowering, but let go and ask, and then allow yourself to receive, because know that when you do ask, you're very worthy to receive everything and anything you really want.
Thank you for being on, Chris, and if you could give out
thank
your
you,
website,
Mark.
So people can find out about your services and
yeah, my website, again, is angelchatter.com. You can find me on Facebook under Chris Alexandria. And if you want to join our closed group on Facebook, just ask to join. I kind of know the mentor, so I can pretty much be sure you'll be let in. It's called Angel Chatter. I'm also on Twitter and also on Pinterest. And when you go to our website, you're welcome to sign up for our weekly e-zine.
Oh,
well,
that's great.
So
and thank you, Pam, for being on.
And you too, Mark. And we'll
see
you next
everybody.
Thursday.
Well, no show next week. So
oh, that's
enjoy
right.
Your
no show
day.
Next week. I'm glad I said that. And Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, happy
to you all.
Happy holidays, everybody. You've been listening to Spiritual
Thank
Connections
you.
Radio, and you can find us on the internet at www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. Good night, everybody.
Good night.